Introduction to this message, which I didn't plan, by the way. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 37. And we're going to get right into our weekly confession as we open up the Word. Let's declare this together. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority blessing. Sorry. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. You're right, I'm wrong. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. You know, as confused as we are, the Word of God is always right. Praise God. So in Psalm 37 and verse 3, it says, trust. Big word. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. A lot of things you can feed on in this world. You can feed on anger. You can feed on offense. You can feed on shortages. You can feed on lack. You can feed on what, I mean, there's a, I mean, take your pick. But He says, feed on what? His faithfulness. Now, the King James says, verily thou shalt be fed. But that's an old English way of saying, look, feed on His, the New King James. If we can put that up, please. The New King James on Psalm 37. That's Psalm 103. Psalm 37, verse 3, the New King James. That brings us into a good understanding. There it is. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. How many of you know God is faithful? He's faithful. You know, His faithful doesn't depend on you, your behavior, whether you do good or bad. His faithfulness is based on His love. He is love. And so the fact that He is love doesn't change His love just because you sinned or you fell short or whatever. We all do. We all fall short. We all sin. We all have these things going. But you know what? It doesn't change God because He is love. He is eternally love. And he will not change that love towards us. It is unchangeable. And so that's what you feed on. Feed on His faithfulness. His faithfulness to uphold His word that He has spoken, His love, His blessing, His salvation, His redemption to you. That all of the blessings of God, all the promises of God in Him are yes. And in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by what? By us. We have something to do with that. We have something, we have to, look, this is a partnership. The covenant that He has made with us is a willing participation where you are willing to take up that covenant. And it's really a one-sided deal too, because we get the best side of the deal. Because we get His blessing, His promises, His benefits. Everything that has to do with God is ours in that covenant. It's an inheritance that is laid up for us to tap into anytime we want to. Well, today we are in part two of our series. Trust in God opens the door to God's promises. Trust, this is why He says trust me. Because that's the door. Trust, confidence, faith is the door to His blessings. You know, we live in a kind of world that it's easy to get into worry about anything. And that's part two, is entitled Worry Drives, Rest Receives and Revives. Say that with me. Worry drives, perceives, and revives. So we live in a world where it's really easy to start getting worried about something anytime, any day, whatever. It is easy to get fretting, to get anxious, to worry about things that haven't even happened yet. Amen. You know what worry is? Worry is borrowing problems from tomorrow that don't even exist yet. Worry, here's a more accurate definition of worry. Worry is meditation on the word of the devil. It grabs. You know, you can look at it this way. I was watching this advertisement on TV, you know, the big pharma, you know, and they've gotten way too powerful. But anyhow, they show this little fatty particle or something of food going down, and it grabs a hold of on the wall of somebody's intestines, right? Great subject. but it grabs hold of that, and then another particle comes and grabs hold of that, and they just start to partner together and everything to build up, and then you get sick. And this drug they sell you will help you get rid of all that. I don't know what disease they were talking about. It didn't matter. But the thing is, these things grab a hold of you. And you can look at your mind as being like the digestive system of your soul that has these things that cares of this life grab a hold of, and they start teaming up until they build up pressure on you. And that pressure becomes a stronghold, and then it grabs you and it drives you into worry, into fear, into anxiety. And then you just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and then he's got your mouth and you're talking fear, worry, anxiety, and everything else. And you know what? Words are important. I said, words are important. Yes. Jesus said that what you say, believing, will come to pass. In Job, he said, the thing which I have so greatly feared has come upon me. Do you know, he opened the door to Satan. Satan didn't even know it. Satan went to God and said, give me Job. He said, he's in your hands. The hedge was down. The devil didn't even know it. And Job's words, and so finally the devil put this together, and he knew how to use your words against you, your own words. He can't do anything to you without your cooperation. Did you know that? Yes. The devil was stripped of his power. It says that Jesus spoiled principalities. Now, that doesn't mean spoiled like it's you took it out of the refrigerator and put it in the backyard and it just rotted. That's not the kind of spoiling we're talking. Spoiling means he took everything from him. He robbed him and just spoiled his whole house and just stripped. Yes. Stripped his power, stripped everything from him. Yes. The devil doesn't have any power anymore. The only power he has is the power to deceive and to get you to cooperate with him. We are the mud that he has to wade through in order to get done what he needs to do. That's a good way to look at it. He is a defeated foe. Amen? Every one of us has been worried about something that has occupied our mind, and it's all we could focus on, it's all we could see. How many of you have ever been worried about something and that's all you could think about? Okay, the rest of you are liars. Or you're just not saying. But you know, let's just start there, because here's what's happening is right now you're starting to cover things up. So let's get on the same, can we just all line up on the same starting line today? Because the Word of God comes to everybody. And based on your culture, your background, your experiences, your understanding of spiritual things, and we all, the Word of God, as the responses are all over the map. So let's line up at the same starting line this morning. And just let me ask you that question. How many of you have ever been so worried about something that it just occupies your mind and it's chewing you up and chewing you up and chewing you up, and that's all you could dwell on, and you just can't move on. Ooh, that's a good song. Phil, that's a good country song. My heart, that's all I could dwell on, and I just couldn't move on. You know, those guys in this country, they will get their lives stuck in the mud somewhere, and you know what, they just stay there, and then they sing about it. And, you know, people say, yeah. And then they get in the mud with them. And then the guys are really stuck. They get rich on the other guys. Anyhow. So how many of you can say with certainty that you have worried about something sometime at some point in your life that just occupied, you just couldn't move on? Is that all of us? Okay, we're all lined up at the same place. Let me say this then. Anytime we place our trust in something that proves trustworthy, it's the end of anxiety. It's the end of worry. Amen. It's the end of fretting. It's the end of fear, because we found something we can trust. And in this case, it's a someone. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines trust as confidence, a reliance, or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. Read that again. It's a reliance or a resting of the mind. Trust. It's a resting of the mind. Proverbs 29:5 says, he who puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. You need to put your trust in God. In the Lord. Put your trust. That means this is an active decision. This is something you do on purpose. You put your trust in God. And you remove it from yourself. You don't trust in this thing. You don't trust in your job. Your whatever. You trust in God. And you will be safe. So that no matter what happens, if your boss is in a bad mood or a good mood, it doesn't matter, because your trust is in God. God, and as long as you're trusting God, God will work through your boss. God will work through your family. God will work through those people. Yes. And he'll change their hearts, because they'll see something in you that they don't have. Yeah. And it's yours. Yeah. Ooh, praise God. Worry is a driver. You got to understand that. Worry is a driver. It rides you. It drives you. It causes you to act impulsively. Bad decisions. Worry is a driver. It's a taskmaster. Remember, the first time we heard that word was in Exodus, when the children of Israel found themselves in slavery. Joseph got them down there, and they started to multiply, and they said, well, these people are way too big for us, and we got to... So they bound, and they put taskmasters over these people. These taskmasters had whips, and they were focused on their work. If they looked anywhere else, they got the whip. See, that's what worry does to you. It doesn't want you to look at the answer. It wants you to look at the problem. And the more you look at the problem, the bigger the problem gets, and it makes their job easier. So we're making the devil's job much easier for him when we worry, fret, right? And it continues to drive us. There is, at some point, we've got to say, that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing that. I'm not playing that mess anymore. I am not going to worry. Let me ask you something. Has worry ever solved one of your problems ever? Right. Never. But yet, there's that. And as soon as you decide that, the devil will bring up a whole list of things that you can worry about. Whenever you make a decision for God, I'm not saying we don't face problems. We do. We're not saying that the problems don't exist. Right. They are real. Right. But worry never solved them. Right. Faith in God makes you safe. And if the devil can get you to trust in those things, that's worry. I'm worried about my husband. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about what's going to happen. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about... No. Don't be so duped and deceived. Rise above it. Say, I know those things are happening because there's a real devil in a fallen world. This is a world full of demons and curses. I mean, it just is. But God has sent a Redeemer to lift us up and out, to be seated with him far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named. Not only in the world to come, but right now and here. Amen. Worry drives, rest receives, and revives. I looked up one of the definitions of revive is to bring back to life or consciousness. You know, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Thunk. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And if his spirit dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. You don't have to worry about your health. You don't have to worry and have that stuff chewing in your mind and getting you so what was that? I just said it. It's all you can dwell on and you can't move on. Exactly. That's what worry does. Praise God. That's page one. But it says that we can, that revive means to regain health. This is, I'm reading from the dictionary. To restore a thing to use again. You know, your body may be used up. Well, you haven't factored in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that says, look, you can restore a thing to use again, those joints, those bones, those muscles, those tendons, John. Those tendons. Amen. It means to renew the mind, too, to give or assume new vitality to flourish again. Worry will tell you that's it, it's over, you're done. But faith says you've just begun. Praise God. You have a partner that is willing to work with you 24/7, 365 and a quarter. His name is the Holy Spirit. Yes. And he will work with you. You have a Father in heaven who is the judge of all, who loves you and is wild about you, who has called you the apple of his eye. You have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And he has already given himself so that you could be with him forever. He said, John 14:3, it says, this is a great verse. If you meditate on these for a while, it'll make sense to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Look, his desire is that you be with him, but you don't have to wait till you get there to be with him. You can walk with him now in his presence. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am yours. He has given himself to you. And that is a gift that you can enjoy 24/7. And he's the one. He says, I give you my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And it's not the world's kind of peace that just dissipates and goes away. No, it's eternal. His peace is who he is. Where he is, his peace manifests. So let his peace just occupy and renew your mind and take all of that and dissolve those worries, those fears, those frettings. Worry drives. Peace, trust and rest puts you in a place where you can receive from God and be revived. Worry is a taskmaster. And as much as worry drives, rest will revive. George Mueller said this. He said, the beginning of anxiety, which is worry, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. Think about that. It eats it up. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And he said this, the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. It's your choice. It's in you. This is not something God drops on you because he's in a good mood. No, faith is measured off and given to you. every man has received the measure of faith. Amen. Amen. George Mueller. He also said, we're going to get into a little bit of history of George Mueller because he's a wonderful case study of a guy who resisted worry, anxiety, and fear and received from God and was revived by God. He said, there was a day when I died. I died to myself. I died to my opinions. I died to my preferences, my tastes, and my own will. I died to the world, its approval and criticism. I died to the approval or blame, even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I have only studied to show myself approved to one, and that one is God. Isn't that a simple thing?
Yes.
Simple. Simple. And we can learn a lot about trusting God from this man. God wants us to be experiencing his benefits, his principles, the promises. He put those there for a reason. And he put a label on it. He said, look, all the promises of God, this is in the eternal covenant that cannot be changed or annulled. He said, all that my promises are yes and amen. He's already given them. They've already been given to you to come in and tap into at your will. So, well, I got to be good. No, you just got to have faith. Faith, all your goodness can never amount to anything. You don't earn this. You don't deserve it. It's not about what you do. You know what we deserve? We deserve eternity in hell forever. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned. And so based on that, when we bring our good works to God and say, here, bless this, he'll go, how about my works and what I've done for you? You need to walk in those. That's what I want. This is like a white robe that he has for you, and we're bringing up this old burlap thing and holding it to him and say, I want to wear this. I want to wear this. I want to wear this. And he's going, let me clothe you with my righteousness. Let me fill you with my love. This is something so valuable. George Mueller literally schooled himself into faith by just staying in the Word of God. And he needed to. You know, there weren't a whole lot of faith preachers. He was born in 1805, died in, I think, 1896, 92 years old, whatever that year was. But he lived a full life. He resolved to live by faith, and there were only a few scriptures on his gravestone that they listed that were his primary, the primary scriptures that defined his life. One was Mark 10:27. He said, for with God all things are possible. The other, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. And John 14:13, where Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Kenneth Hagin had a scripture that defined his life, Mark 11:23. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Amen. Oral Roberts, his main scripture was Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Healing all who were oppressed for who? Healing comes from God. Sickness and disease comes from the devil. It's that simple. Now, does that mean we're all guilty if you're sick? Look, we are in a fallen world, and sickness comes and tries to get into all of us. But if you don't have the things in place that the Bible teaches you, you will succumb to those things. You will get sick. But just because you're sick, that doesn't disqualify you. because you're sick, you are a qualified candidate for his healing. Amen. Because no matter where you are, all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him who believes. Give it to him. Just trust him. T-R-U-S-T. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. Write that down and memorize it. Smith Wigglesworth, he had a scripture that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let his power work through you. What is his power? The power of love, the power of joy, the power of peace, the calm storm, the power of love that cannot fail. Praise God. George Mueller. He and his wife began an orphanage in 1835 in his own house with the capacity to house 30 girls, children, girls. Over the next several years, he and his wife were caring for hundreds of children. He had to learn how to believe God for the children's food and clothes. By May of 1870, which is what, 35 years later, he was caring for 1,722 children. They were all being accommodated in five separate homes that he built. Through all this time, Mueller never made requests for financial support, nor did he go into debt, even though the five homes cost more than £100,000. Many times he received unsolicited food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children. Further strengthening his faith in God, Mueller was in constant prayer that God work through and touch the hearts of donors to make provisions for the orphans. Wow. He just looked for ways for God to come through. On one well-documented occasion, thanks was given for the breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was no food in the house. As they finished praying, the local baker knocked on the door with sufficient bread to feed everyone, and the milkman gave plenty of fresh milk because his cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. George Mueller would not receive any government support, and he only accepted unsolicited gifts. Through George, you know, if you wanted to create a way to fail, he created it. But his system opened up the avenues for God to bring blessing. Amen. I'm telling you something. Through George Mueller's faith and prayers, his organization received and dispersed in his lifetime over 1,381,171 pounds, which is about 113 million in today's economy. By the time of Mueller's death, primarily using the money for supporting the orphanages and distributing about 250,000 Bibles, 1.5 million New Testaments, and 250,000 religious texts, most of which were translated into 20 other languages, the money was also used to support faith missionaries around the world, such as Hudson Taylor, the works of which are still in force and working today. A legacy. And I'm sure the devil would have loved to get in there and ruin that, but he couldn't do it. You know why? George refused to worry. He refused to give in to fretting and doubt and anxiety. He refused. And he just, you know what he did? He turned his worries into prayers.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
Write that down. Turn worries into prayers.
Amen.
This is something that all the positive thinking in the world won't help you. It's faith in God.
That's right.
That will renew your mind. Now, when you're doing a great work, especially for children, you can be sure that the devil is there to foul it up. And he tried to cut off supplies many times in Mueller's life. You know, the devil hates children. He hates them. You know why? Because Jesus loves them. And there was one little baby that he would have loved to kill. And he was born in Bethlehem. And he didn't, he was, and he, this is how messed up the devil is. Now listen to this. You got to understand something. This is why he hates nativity scenes. And he's trying to use the legal system to try to get nativity scenes out of government facilities, as if the government owed it to the devil. Anyhow, by the time the devil got to Jesus, he had already left Bethlehem and he was up in Nazareth. He was 2 years old. The devil didn't know where he was. On the night he was born, the skies were filled with an angel saying, "There he is, right there. Shoot your best shot, devil." And all the angels started singing and glorifying God. "For this night that is born unto you in Bethlehem, you'll find him in a manger." I mean, he couldn't have been more exact and explicit on that. And the devil still was 2 years late in getting to him. Because those nativity, they unmask his, you know, even when he, before he was, he was spoiled. Even before that, when he was the God of this world, he still didn't know what was going on. And now that he has been spoiled by Jesus, spoiled principalities and powers, he brought them to naught, he says. He rose triumphant over and paraded him, triumphed over them. This was a triumph march. Triumphed over them, displayed to all of the demons in hell who the devil really was. And as he came through, they all knew who was the new king, who was the new one. And he knows what's going to happen before it even happens. You know, people get all involved in the news and the commentary. All the news can tell you, well, they'll lie to you, but all they can tell you is what has happened. Anyhow. Jesus knows what's going to happen before it happens. Okay, I got good time here. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. They cannot coexist. They cannot coexist. Somebody said, "Can a Christian have a devil? Can a Christian have a demon?" No. Not in the spirit. He can't be possessed. He can be oppressed. But you see, God doesn't share his temple with anybody. And if you are the temple of God, I'm telling you, you are in a really safe place. You're in a good place. But the devil, he tries to get in, not so he can share that temple, but to take over. And he'll do it if you let him. You have to be the one to let him, though. Now, that doesn't put all the weight on you. What that does is just increase God's grace in every possible way. Because once you're in his hands, nobody's going to get you out of his hands. Amen? Amen. They cannot coexist. You know, when you have a sense of anxiety, when you have a sense of worry, you know, and it's so, because the devil is so subtle. This is why you got to just really focus in life and just do, on purpose, concentrate and focus and meditate on the Word of God. That's how you'll know when you'll recognize fear when it comes, worry when it comes. It starts with that little thing on the wall of the intestine of your mind. That little thing. There's something on the inside of you that says no, but you ignore it and it just accumulates and starts becoming bigger and bigger and bigger until it starts calling the shots. But that doesn't mean you're bound by it. You can get freed from that thing that quick. Just say, nope, 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 nope. You don't belong to me. You are an illegal alien. Get out of here. We have a lot of problems now with those who have no respect for anybody, even our borders, to let them over here. Look, friends, we've got to understand something. If we don't get involved in our government, the devil kids will. We were all children of the devil before we were born again. And if you're not born again, you are a child of the devil. The Bible, that's what the Bible teaches, right? I'm not going to sugarcoat that. You need to be born. Jesus said you must be born again. He said, how can that happen? I mean, No, he's talking about your spirit. He's talking, your spirit must be born again. That happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you repent and say, Lord, I've been wrong. I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to go to hell. I do want to go to heaven. But I want to walk with you. I want to experience a new life. Well, okay, it's available. He makes all things new. He makes it so you can walk in newness of life. Why? So you can stop fretting and worrying. And would you like your kids to go around life through the rest of their life with weights of worries and fears and anxiety, always waiting for the other shoe to drop? Wondering what's going to happen. No, you want them to live in peace. It's the same with God. He wants you to live in peace because he loves you. You know, God has given us authority over the enemy. Psalm 103, verse 20, if we can go there, this is a real revealing verse. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Angels will help you. But here's the thing. You know, the devil and his demons are not angels, right? But they once were. And so the same rules apply. Angels do his commandments, and they hearken unto the voice of his word. Who is it that gives voice of the word of God in this world right now? You do. The church, us, we do. We're the ones who give voice to the word of God in this earth. And you know what? The devil doesn't have a choice because he's a fallen angel. He has to listen to it. And that word hearken means to hear and obey. He doesn't have a choice. If you speak the word of God, he has to obey it. Amen. He may give you a hard time, say, well, but no, you stay with it. He will hearken unto it. He will hear and obey. And and God's commandments are intertwined with that word. Why? Because it's his person. The word is God, period. Amen. The word was first written, the word was first spoken by God so it could be written by men, so it could be spoken by men. The spirit of faith, like I said before, the devil doesn't care what you believe as long as you stay quiet about it. But it says, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Brother Hagin used to say this, that the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges. Believing and speaking the word of God. That's what opens it up. Believing. Faith is the key to the door, to the spiritual net, but you got to speak it. Noah Webster. Trust is a resting of the mind. Do you want mind rest? I mean, look at the world. I mean, the devil wants you to believe that this world is teetering over and becoming a socialist state. And socialism, Socialism is nothing more than communism with lipstick on it. And if you believe that we are teeter-tottering and we're falling into socialism, that's exactly where the devil wants you. He needs your faith. He needs you to talk that way. Because he's after this. He's after your words. And if he can take your words and turn it, socialism has failed 100% of the time. Why is it all of a sudden going to work here? It's not. Is this a political rally? No. We don't get involved in politics, but we do get involved in government. A government that is of the people, by the people, and for the people, the way it was designed. Let me say this again. The average constitution of any nation that we know of in history, the average length of that constitution is 17 and a half years. And every one of them was made, well, they're probably written in pencil. Ours has lasted 240 years for a reason, because God authored it. It's the most unique constitution ever written. And if you are going to, what's the word I'm looking for? If you are going to abdicate your responsibility as a citizen that is backed by that constitution, you don't deserve this country. You don't deserve. But if you rise up and say, yes, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote for, I don't care if they're perfect or imperfect. But what I am going to do is vote for the one whose philosophy is the closest to God that there is. And I'll tell you something. We have a guy who's running for president now who is the most pro-life. Kids. You see how the devil hates children? When they're little babies, he wants to kill them. 80 million babies have been aborted. They're poor little bodies betrayed by their own mother. 80 million of them convinced that they're doing the right thing. It's murder. 80 million of them. Who knows which one of those could have the cure for cancer or the cure for whatever, or could have brought this country to the next level. Because I'll tell you something, the Constitution we have, it's unlimited, the possibilities of good. Jesus said it would be better for a man who offends one of these children if a millstone was tied around his neck. And thrown in. These abortion doctors, I pray for them. Mm-hmm. Pray for them to get that revelation, because several of them have turned from it and repented. But we need to get rid of this family planning. It's not family planning. It's murder planning. Look, if you have had an abortion, God's merciful. If you turn from it, God's merciful, and you are totally accepted in Christ. But if you're planning on it, I'm telling you, don't do it. It'll bother you for the rest of your life. It will. I don't know why I'm standing that, but that's for somebody. Trust in the Lord. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Feed on his faithfulness. If you choose for him, you can activate so many promises. You know, when we walk in faith and when we resist worry and fretting and fear and all that that brings into our life, and we choose to trust in God, I'll tell you, that act of trust is he honors that. And the Holy Spirit will begin to open up avenues to you. The Holy Spirit will begin to remind you of promises and blessings that he's spoken to you, even in dreams or just little flashes. He'll bring to you. Do you want to change life? Because God gives you that. He doesn't just saddle on and help you be what you want to be. Look at this. George Mueller. Can we go to that first picture? This is George Mueller's funeral. Somebody once said, you mean I have to give up, you know, I give up my reputation, my name, and who I am in this community? Do you mean I have to give up my career? No, I'm saying give your life to Jesus. Take your orders from him. Give him your plans and see what he does with them. Because by yourself, you will die alone. But if you give it to Jesus, look at all the lives he touched. Amen. Let's go to the next one. This is George Mueller's gravestone. And on his gravestone it says this: born September 27th, 1805. Fell asleep March 10th, 1898. He trusted God, with whom nothing shall be impossible, and in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who said, I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And in his inspired word, which declares that all things are possible to him that believes, and God fulfilled these declarations in the experience of his servant by enabling him to provide the care and care for about 10,000 orphans. This memorial was erected by the spontaneous and loving gifts of many of those orphans. You want a life that matters? You want a life that can multiply God's blessings in this world? Look at this man. Let's go to the next one. Simple. 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 Believe God, with whom all things are possible, and that nothing shall be impossible to him who believes. You could build a fence out of gold bricks around the entire Kane County. A massive fortune. And it wouldn't amount to one day of living in that blessing. One second of having that anointing on you and touching the lives that the devil wanted to ruin. Praise God. Don't worry. Worry is giving ground to the devil. Don't give him an ounce. Faith, trust, and rest is what opens you to receive from God and be everything that he created you to be. So his blessing could be filtered through this world, filtered through you. Let's make that as unfiltered as we possibly can. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the life. Your life in that word that can reach so many and accomplish so much. Thank you, Lord, for touching us where no amount of education or knowledge or that no one else can touch, where you have touched us. Thank you for the love that you have bestowed upon us. Help us to be wise in the use of our time, in the use of our lives, the words that we speak. We take authority over our minds right now and we command them to be still. We command them to receive renewal so that we can be transformed by your power in our lives. This day is a decision day that you have brought us to a place where we need to decide something. We decide to die to our own self, to our own opinions, to our own plans. What we have received as things that we have received as true, things that have come into our lives where we have forfeited our blessing and the blessing that you want to place and multiply in us, the power that you want to give us. Lord, we repent. We thank you, Lord, that you will have your way in our life. For we clear the avenue now. We resist the fear. We resist the toil of this world and the weights of those burdens. We refuse to carry that sack of rocks on our back. And we let it drop now and we rise up and say, yes, Lord, I'll walk with you. I will do what you say to do. I will go where you say I'll go. Where you want me to go. If you drive the winds where you want them to go, that's where I will go. Where the mountains bow, so will I. Thank you, Lord. Put it down. Just put it down. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, the blood is so much more powerful. Say, you don't know what I've done. Well, you don't know the power of the word. You don't know the power of the blood, because the blood is in that word. The blood is in the Spirit of the living God. He carries it wherever he goes. Jesus, we give our lives to you, and we thank you for your love, for your grace. When we were helpless, you helped us. Help us help the helpless. Help us save more babies from being mutilated. More orphans and more, and nowadays we have the children's, the sex slave trade. Lord, help us get in there and get those children free, because they are so valuable and important and so loved by you. Lord, this world, twisted mess, Lord, one word from you can straighten it all out. And we ask you, we give you license to do that with our faith, with our prayers. Even as the prayers of George Mueller went into people that you used to get, to bring favor and provision for all those 10,000 orphans that were cared for. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, for that change to come to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, come on up and we will pray for you. Amen. Oh. There's a